B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday show, a general knowledge Wednesday show. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I'm going to make this a basketball show today. I'm in the mood to make this a basketball show. We did a little football show yesterday. I'm making a basketball show today in light of a couple things that are out in the open now, but some highly rated basketball analysts. And the first one is Paul Pierce, who just came in. See, Paul Pierce, I don't trust a little bit. Since I've been watching him be a commentator, he's more about the hot take than the reality. Do you agree with that, Tyron?
Yeah, I honestly would tell him to his face. I think he's a joke. Honestly, I think
and you're extra heated up today for one particular reason.
No,
I think this is not helping the situation where you're feeling for Paul Pierce.
No,
right. All right. So here's what I'm talking about. So Paul Pierce said in an extremely hot take way, LeBron James is not even in the top five of all-time basketball players. Now, you can dislike LeBron James if you want, but you would have to be an idiot not to put him in the top five all-time. Even if you put him fifth, I could like have a little solace in your opinion. But when you annoyingly don't put him in the top five, that means you're trying to create a hot take or you have some kind of an axe to grind. So here's his top five. And again, he makes the cardinal mistake of throwing centers in there, which is why this whole thing gets skewed. But let's play along with it. He goes Jordan. Okay. He goes Jabbar. All right. He goes Russell. Now stop it. You can't put Bill Russell in a top five of all time. Bill Russell was obviously a great player. He influenced the game and his team, but more as a subordinate player, not a mainstream guy. Not a mainstream guy. But he couldn't score. He had trouble scoring the basketball. How do you make him a top five? He didn't have the all-around skills. He was a great shot blocker. He was a great runner of the floor. He threw in a little hook every now and then. He was a great rebounder. All right. Doesn't make him a top five. And he's got Magic and Kobe. Now, Magic and Kobe are obviously great players. I made Kobe third. I put Magic in my top five. But you cannot put LeBron in there for the sake of Russell, Magic, and Kobe, can you?
Not if you're being serious. Not if you understand basketball. And I think what Paul Pierce is, let's say I give him every benefit of the doubt, that means he's a cement head who knew how to play the game but had no idea how to analyze it. Or, more likely, he's a cement head who's a hater.
But why would he be a hater? Well, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what would motivate him just to stand out?
No, he has a personal issue with LeBron going back to when the Cavaliers and the Heat used to beat his Celtics teams.
Wait, he has a problem with the creating the Big Three?
Yes, yes.
Because he's the one who started the Big Three.
Oh, he actually has said that out loud.
What are you talking about?
LeBron had to get a Big Three, even though he's playing with Ray Allen and Garnett.
Why did they put that Big Three together for the sake of winning a championship? How does he then look at Miami and cast aspersions on it?
It's funny how you say that.
He's an idiot. I'd like to get him on the air. You can try to get him on the air.
Yeah, I'd
go toe-to-toe with that dude on this list.
Through the ESPN PR, but they're sometimes protective of their guys.
Protective of Paul Pierce, big man Paul Pierce. Hall of Fame caliber player, one of the great Celtics of all time. Be afraid to come on with little old Mikey Miss.
I don't know.
Come on now.
I don't know if he would be, but sometimes they are.
Come on, Paul. He's from South Central. Isn't he that way from? He's from L.A.
Yeah, he's from L.A.
Come on. You got some toughness in you. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. I'm just a little dude from Bristol. All right, anyway. Let's move on to the other thing, which is the Horace Grant rant. Now, I know we thought we'd be done with The Last Dance, but apparently not. Because I kept waiting for this. You know, all that stuff that came out of the documentary, we were all going, man, Horace Grant's getting demolished here by Mike. He probably has something to say. Well, he laid low, and then somebody got him on a radio show, and he did have something to say. This is what he says. Lie, lie, lie. Jordan dined him out as the snitch for the book The Jordan Rules was make Michael Jordan look bad. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle this like men. Let's talk about it. Or we could settle it another way. I like that. But yet and still, he goes out and puts this lie out that I was the source behind the book. Sam and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of that locker room, I would never put anything personal out there. The mere fact of Sam Smith, when an investigative reporter, that he has to have two sources, two, to write a book, I guess. Why would MJ just point me out? It's only a grudge, man. I'm telling you, it was only a grudge. And I think he proved that during this so-called documentary. When if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. He's going to try to destroy your character. First of all, do I believe that Horace Grant was part of the source? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I believe Horace Grant was telling Sam Smith stuff.
Yeah, people have actually been saying that, they've been saying that since then.
Yeah.
For 20 years, they've been saying that Horace was...
Well, which makes him a snitch.
Yeah.
And you hate the snitch part of it.
Yeah, you can't snitch on Mike.
But to dime, but to re-snitch is the question. Is a re-snitch permitted?
No.
So you're saying that Horace could have been the snitch, but Mike didn't have the entitlement to re-snitch on Horace Grant in a documentary.
Not that.
And without facts.
And Mike did his share of snitching in that documentary.
Yes, he did.
Talking about what his teammates were doing and what they and all that kind of stuff. Mike did a lot of telling to be mad about somebody else telling. Once you're a rat, you can't be mad at somebody else being a rat. He was telling on all those 84, 85, those early teammates. He was talking about cocaine and all that stuff. Mike was telling all that. He's snitching. So now you're going to be mad because Horace might have said something? Nah, Mike, you're not allowed. If you're...
But he didn't say it at the time, Mike. He didn't snitch at the time. He docu-snitched.
You can't docu-snitch either.
Why?
You can't docu-snitch.
Docu-snitched. It was years after the fact. It wasn't like he was snitching on his teammates.
You can never snitch. They were your teammates at the time. You can never snitch.
Teammates now.
You can never snitch.
He followed the rule when he should have followed the rule. He didn't snitch on guys snorting cocaine.
I don't know about that. Way Mike was talking, he was a little loose. He probably was telling people back then, get him off the team.
All right, so he goes on to say, I would say it was entertaining, talking about the documentary, but we know who was there as teammates at 90% of it, but BS in terms of the realness of it. It wasn't real because a lot of the things he said to some of his teammates went back at him. But all that was kind of edited out of the documentary, if you want to call it a documentary. He said, he felt he could dominate me, but that was sadly mistaken. Because whenever he went at me, I went right back at him. In terms of Will Perdue, Steve Kerr, and the young man Scott Burrell, that was heartbreaking. To see a guy, a leader, go with these guys like that, I understand in terms of practicing, you have a push and shove here and there. But outright punching and things of that nature, and calling them the B's and the H's, that wasn't called for. So he said they went right back at Mike. Now, I may call BS on that, too.
No, I don't.
All right. I don't think Will Perdue's going back at him.
No, I agree with that. I don't believe that Mike was just this tyrant every day. And everybody, every single day, just took it. Because everybody has a point where they say, you know what, Mike? Somebody said a bleep you somewhere in there. There's no way everybody just ate that and just said, yes, sir, Mike. I'll do whatever you say. There's no way that happened. No way.
All right. Well, I love this stuff. I love beefs like this, man. I can't get enough of them. And so this is what also we're going to do today. On ESPN, they try to come up with these teams that if you put together a starting five, and I decided to turn it into this. I'm putting together an all-time seven, and I'm going to go down the list of teams to see how many teams the Sixers' all-time seven was better than. All right? So if I give you a five of Iverson, Greer, let's face it, a lot of people don't know about Hal Greer, but he was the all-time leading scorer for the Sixers. He was a great player. Will Chamberlain, Barkley at the four, and Irving is the three. That's pretty good five.
That's actually going to be, I bet you, top five in all time.
Yeah, now off the bench, I selected two of my favorite guys that I would select off the bench, but I know that I'm screwing Billy Cunningham probably out of this. So I went Andrew Toney, Bobby Jones as my 6 and 7 men.
Okay.
Am I missing somebody?
Well, you could go Moses off the bench.
Yeah, but Moses didn't have the longevity that with the Sixers that both of those guys do, so I had to defer to that.
Okay, because he won an MVP, is what I'm saying.
He
MVP
did, but
and
he was
title as a Sixer.
He was a 4-year Sixer.
No, I get it. And then he came back later. I'm just saying he'd be the only guy that I think might be missing.
Yeah, but I can't, like, Toney barely got nosed off my first team, so I can't ignore Toney.
No, he was a great player.
Yeah.
And if only they
and
had
Bobby
MRIs.
Jones was a just an incredible six man, so I had to bring him off the bench. So that's what I go with 7. Now I'm going to measure that with the help of you guys against the other franchises. So just for chat and conversation.
Okay.
All right, Nat?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. Now, it is also General Knowledge Wednesday today. And General Knowledge Wednesday, we have the 5 Hurst chip trucks. We have an abundance of chip trucks, which is good.
Yes.
So we're going to give away a chip truck once an hour. And then the grand prize is a $100 gift card for one of my favorite local spots, Carlino's Markets in Ardmore and Westchester. Now, that is a cool prize because you can get some takeout for Carlino's, some delivery, fantastic food. It's carlinosmarket.com. So you'll get a $100 gift certificate. They have the 2 shots, one in Ardmore and one in Westchester. And today's categories are, of course, general knowledge. And then it's old school or older school music.
Ooh.
So if I go, like, here's the example of a question like that. Jimi Hendrix plays a psychedelic version of the national anthem at this music festival.
It's Woodstock.
That's correct. All right, so we're going old school. Highest grossing 1990s movies. Highest grossing now. So I will give you the clue, and you have to give me the movie. And then there's 1970s. This is the, I call it the Tyrone category. 1970s American TV trivia.
Because of the sitcoms?
Old school TV trivia.
Oh, that'll be fun.
All right, so we'll have a blast today with that, and we'll talk some hoops. Any comments on the Horace Grant thing? Any comments on Paul Pierce and LeBron not being in the top 5? Are there people out there that actually think that? If you are, identify yourself, because you got to deliver me a rationale on that. And then finally, the teams where we're going to go head-to-head, all the Sixers' top 7 versus any other franchise's top 7. And we'll see how the Sixers come out on this. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Get on the lines. We're back with you after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All righty, it's the Mike Mussinelli Show, 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, I know you're out there. Visit Ferguson's County location. They're on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. That's where you can get equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start today's Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons, my good buddies over there at Paul B. Moyer & Sons, like Jakey Moyer over there. If you need a new lawnmower, have a zero turn action, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons have it all, but they have the expertise. They're going to put you in a really good machine, and that's the difference between them and a box store. So just order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless delivery and pick up in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff, the Twitter poll for today.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, will the new expanded Rooney Rule be effective? 19% say yes, 81% say no. So they don't think
of course not.
The new rules are going to help.
Interesting that I'm going to speak on this later. There was a story that I was reading that I agree with. That here's the amazing part of this. The story makes the case that the system is so broken and so racist that even owners can't be bribed to hire black employees, black coaches, and black general managers. And here's how that works. On their face, they don't want to hire minorities. You can kind of read that landscape if you've studied NFL ownership, and their rich white owners are just going to be reluctant to hire minorities. That's pretty much a fact. That's why this Rooney Rule came into existence. Now, the plan that would have rewarded owners for doing that, rewarded in that they would get a better draft pick. Now, here's the spot they're put in now. If they would be perceived, they don't want to do it on its face. So if they didn't do it in the face of getting a benefit for their team, they would be perceived as hurting their team. So there would be pressure for them to cave into that every year. Now, because they don't want to do it, they'd rather avoid it, because if it's an option, they can get criticized for not hiring a minority. So that's the way they work. So here's the bottom line. They are more comfortable to avoid it altogether than actually take advantage of it to help their team. Think about that for a second. They would rather not help their team than hire a minority candidate.
Yes, and that is because the owners, the best and brightest, is not top of the list when NFL owners hire coaches.
It's an old boy network.
Right. It's not best and brightest. Mm-hmm. It's who do they know? Who does this guy know? And the only way, I don't know how you break the who you know.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break that? Because they say, oh, this is my buddy. Okay, well, I trust you. I'll hire him.
Are there any nepotism rules?
No.
At all, right?
No, they hire whoever they want.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I know that, but...
Jerry Jones.
Well, the Jerry Jones, right, Bill Belichick.
Sons,
there's no nepotism rule.
No, none at all. You hire whoever you want.
Yeah. So they'd rather not help their team than hire a minority. Why that laugh? I was just hysterical to me.
There are no parameters.
It's like, no. We don't put that rule in, because then we'll be forced. Because then the fan base will go, all I had to do is hire a minority general manager. We would have got a six advancement of six in the second round of the draft pick. They can't have that kind of pressure.
No. So it's like, no.
They'd rather avoid it.
Right. So that's why they table it, because if they vote on it,
mm-hmm.
then if that vote ever leaks.
Yes.
Of who voted no.
Right. We tell who the racists are.
And if you don't win, a couple guys will have insulation. Let's say Jeff Lurie was the vote no. He would have a certain amount of insulation because he's recently won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys wouldn't, because when was the last time they won a Super Bowl?
See, all you wealthy owners, I'm on you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to, first of all, let's establish this. The Sixer all-time team.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Iverson, Greer, Wilt, Barkley, Irving, off the bench, Tony, and Jones. All right, so let's start. You want to do it alphabetically?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it alphabetically. So first alphabetically would be the Atlanta Hawks, right?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay, so now the Atlanta Hawks is tough because you have to go old school.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of great Atlanta Hawks.
Dominique, obviously.
Yeah.
You would have to go Al Horford on that team, because their history is not that great. You'd have to go like old school Lou Hudson, who was a great Atlanta Hawk, and the St. Louis Hawk, who I put in my all-time top 74, Bob Pettit.
Yes.
Other than that, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't think of another Hawk that would fill out a starting lineup.
I think you have to put Joe Johnson in there.
Okay.
Joe Johnson played well.
All right, so Lou Hudson, Joe Johnson, Dominique, Kevin Pettit, and I think Al Horford.
Horford or Kevin Willis?
Kevin Willis over Al Horford?
He scored more points as a Hawk. I don't know.
Whatever. That team gets demolished by the Sixers,
yes,
right?
So
just cross off the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, they get smoked.
Right out of shoot. All right, let's go Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Gene?
I'm astounded by Paul Pierce. I understand he's a professional basketball player, but his list has zero validity to me. If you're going to put big men on there, how do you leave Wilt off? And then to say LeBron's not in the top, just...
A lot of people would leave Wilt off in favor of Russell and Kareem. They really would. Always the perception that Russell was such a winner and Wilt was a loser. So I could see where that would happen. Now, we have a special fondness for Wilt because of the incredible statistics he put up. But most of the other players would look at Wilt as a loser.
Exactly, because he never won anything. But like you said, most of the people don't realize that Russell wasn't a big scorer. He was a great defender. But he had trouble scoring the ball.
Yeah, they're looking at, well, they won. Yeah, they won. They dominated the competition at a time where, you know, they had really good players around him. And I can't take anything away from him, but he's not an overall talented top five dude.
To me, he's not. I mean, including centers or not, he's not on my top five list.
No, I agree with you.
A quick question. Did Reggie Theus play for those Hawks? Would he be on that list?
He wasn't great enough to be on the top five, though.
Okay.
You want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
Here we go. We'll start the general knowledge category with you, Gene. So let's go here with what do devout Muslims do five times a day? And you have to be specific on this. What do they do five times a day?
They pray five times a day.
They do, but I need a more complete answer than that.
What's the name of their prayer? I don't know.
Pray, but they pray towards Mecca.
Yes.
Is what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why it had to be a more complete answer.
Real fast, the ESPN Hawks list was mm-hmm. Lou Hudson, Cliff mm-hmm. Hagan, Dominique Pettit, and Horford.
Yeah, I don't know who Cliff Hagan is.
Me neither. It's a black and white picture. I have no idea who he is. I've never even heard of him, like, in lore.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you that. Yeah, Cliff Hagan.
All right. They have they're releasing some of their starting fives, and I disagree with many.
All right. Now, listen, Pierce may have gone Russell because of the Boston thing. If he didn't put Russell on the list. But I can read through that.
Yeah.
You know, he probably, if he didn't put Russell on the list, he'd be excoriated in a town that supposedly loves him.
Right.
So, all right, I got why he would do that. But I was watching the whole video of that, and Jay Williams just had his head in his hands. It's like that you can't even respond to something like that, that you don't put LeBron in the top five, at least in my opinion. Maybe I'm missing something here.
It's so dumb, and he's so transparent. It's like you can't take him. So now, let's say the season starts again. Yeah. Am I to believe if he's doing a Lakers game in the studio before the game and he's picking a winner, I can't take him seriously because I don't think he's either has an agenda or doesn't understand the game. And either one's available to me with Paul Pierce because I never thought he was a heady player.
If you wanted to put Russell on the list and you wanted to put Kobe on the list, then you can't put Magic on the list.
Right.
You can't make the case that Magic was a better player than LeBron James, even though he was a great player. You just can't.
You can't. Not with a straight face. Not if you want somebody to take you seriously. But I think the point was to get attention. That's why certain frauds like him, I couldn't work. I would walk off the set if I was
This is why I don't put the centers in there, because excuse the whole thing. He's got Russell and Jabbar in there, which means he takes off. Two great players. Like Larry Bird doesn't make the top five because of this, and LeBron doesn't make the top five off the list because he had to stick two centers in there.
But even if you include centers, even if you include Russell, Jabbar, and Wilt, if you don't have LeBron in the top five, you're an idiot. I feel very comfortable saying that. Jordan and LeBron both have to be in any top five, and I don't care what positions you include unless you don't understand the game of basketball, and that's a choice. Not understand.
Yes. All right, let's go Ian in Newark. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, Mike, if I was Pippen, I'd be mad the most from that documentary because what I got from that, Pippen's a big baby.
Well, Pippen did not come off looking good, and he apparently is not happy about it. Jackie McMullen from ESPN wrote a story saying that Pippen has been really stung by his portrayal in the documentary.
I said that from the get-go because Grant made a great point. He's like, why did they put that one scene in when Jordan wasn't in there?
Why did they put the Pippen scene not going in the... Well, here's the thing. That was a really interesting part of it.
Yeah, it was.
And they dedicated a lot of that to the Pitten dynamic with Jordan. So at that point, I don't know that you could forget that Pippen
did
that.
True. That is true. But to me, Pippen didn't come out well to my. And Jordan really didn't come out well. Jordan was more respectable as a basketball because the two best players ever is Jordan 1A and James 1B. I don't think that's not even debatable because if James gets two or three more titles, I will put James over Jordan because when James was a sophomore in high school, he could have played the NBA then. James was great from the get-go, from 18 years old.
But still, that doesn't mean he's better than Jordan. It doesn't matter how,
I get that.
Jordan, to me, proved himself a little better with the championships than LeBron James. And I'm very comfortable saying that, being a big LeBron guy. I'll still go LeBron Jordan.
Because your life's on the line, the team you're going to start with, say a game, you're going to put Jordan on your team. Because Jordan was a killer, so.
I don't know if I would do that. I'm on the record saying I would, but that would be a tough chance. To start a franchise, you would start it with the guy that can do almost everything, right?
But the reason why I disagree, Mike, is because what I got from the thing from Jordan, Jordan holds his players accountable. Like, he's more masculine. That's the only thing I go with Jordan, because Jordan, I respect that part of him. He's all about business on the court.
Yeah.
James is more.
That could have easily backfired, though. You had to have the right temperament.
It backfired on now because.
We looked at him like that was good at the time, but if he didn't have the right people around him, maybe that would have blown up.
But Mike, why do you think Jordan's crying on there? Because people don't like him from this team. Because there's a price to pay. But he
didn't do that to alphas. See, if you have other alphas on your team, you can't bully him. Like, if he's had Jimmy Butler on his team, he won't be able to do that bullying in practice.
He had
the right configuration of players to do that.
But doesn't Jordan's physique, he knows no one's going to touch him, because if you touch Jordan, he's kicking. But I can talk to you all day
physique.
About it.
Horace Grant would have demolished him. Are you kidding me?
I'm talking about, because Jordan's great. He's like the best player on the team. No one's going to stand up to him.
Why not? If you're getting abused in practice, you're all professionals out there. You're all men. You're going to let somebody abuse you?
Right, but
you're a competitive athlete. All right, man, let me give you a general knowledge question. All right, here it is. 1967, this singer records Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, but dies just a few days later in a plane crash.
I can never get one. I don't remember.
Oh, my God, you're out. That's Otis Redding.
Yes.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
I know. So sad.
Well, listen, it worked for Jordan. Okay. It worked. All that bullying somehow brought out the best in him and the other dudes. Now, that's not going to work 100% of the time, but he got away with it.
Right. And when you talk about starting a team, it's not just a slam dunk decision, because when it's a blank slate, you don't know what kind of coach. You don't know what kind of drafting there is going to be done. You don't know what kind of teammates. And you're absolutely right. I don't think Jordan would be able to bully a lot of players. I don't think he would have been able to bully Charles Barkley, for example, if somehow they played together. I think Scotty and those guys were very
milquetoast. They were milquetoast enough for Jordan to be that way.
Right. And let's not, I understand, also look at what Rodman did get away with playing with Jordan, the fact that he did go to Vegas on a vacation in the middle of the season, the fact that he did skip it during the finals and go to wrestling, that tells you that he wasn't able to tell everybody what to do, because there's no way Jordan was okay with him going to wrestling during the NBA finals. That means he didn't have control over every strong-willed individual. There's no way he's just bullying people.
It never came out in the documentary that he bullied Rodman.
Right.
Because he knew Robin was crazy enough to pick up a chair
smack him across the face. Right.
And what I'm saying is,
picked the spots.
Yeah. Right. And if you're building a team from scratch, okay, you're the first piece. You don't know who that second piece is going to be. It might be a Robin type. It might be a Batman and Batman situation. You're not telling Batman a damn thing, Mike. Go sit down.
Yeah, so here's what Horace Grant said about the Pippen thing. He said, I've never seen a quote-unquote number two guy as decorated as Scottie Pippen portrayed so badly. In terms of the migraine, in terms of the 1 point seconds, Jordan called him selfish. I've never seen this in all my life. Pip was out there in game six, could barely walk, getting knocked down on his back, tried to do whatever he could to help that team. My point is, why was that 1 point seconds in the documentary, the so-called documentary about Pip? MJ wasn't even on the team. Why was that in there? Well, I could see exactly why it was in there. So I think Horace is wrong when he's saying that. That should have been in there. If they dedicated so much of that documentary in the early part to the Pippen thing, well, then you know that the fans knew about that thing, so they had to address it. If you don't make Pippen as much of the documentary, then you don't need to do it. But he was one of the focuses of that documentary.
I'm fine with that being in there. It needed to be in there. And Pippen's reaction, modern-day mm-hmm. reaction, I think was very... It was worth getting in there. I didn't know what he... Mm-hmm. We expected him to apologize. He didn't do it. That's the option that he made. I do think that there were some positives from Pippen that mm-hmm. Jordan did. He wasn't putting over the pluses. He made sure to put extra stank on the minus.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Surgery, put extra stank on it.
You're right about that. But here's the thing. I looked at it, and I agree with your point. But when he was asked about, like, if I was a teammate of Scottie Pippen, and he pulled that, I'm not getting knee surgery until we're ready to start the season, I would have been cheesed too.
Right, but...
And Jordan said he thought it was selfish. And it was. He was trying to make an individual point on a general manager he didn't like at the stake of the team.
Right, but Shaq did that multiple times.
Well, this is in Bat Shaq.
I'm saying...
This is about the documentary about Jordan.
And what I'm saying is the teammates didn't throw... They don't throw... When teammates uh-huh. are talking about Shaq, even Kobe before he passed away, they did not always get along. Uh-huh. He didn't go and throw the extra stank on the negativity.
Then he had more integrity. I wouldn't have been happy with Pippen pulling out either. Now, would I have said in the documentary 30 years later? I might have. To me, that's not snitching. That's what Scottie Pippen did.
Yeah, and I still agree with what Pippen did.
Yeah, well, that's stupid to agree with that.
Nah,
because you're throwing the team under the bus for your one selfish feud with Jerry Krause.
With my money? Yes. I don't give a damn about everybody else when it comes to my money. I got to have my money.
Okay, so what? So then hold out. Get ready to play and then hold out. Don't lollygag and then have the injury, because that's not being a man either. That's giving yourself an excuse. Why not? Yeah. He could have held out if he was that strong. You're giving yourself an easy excuse now with the surgery.
I get surgery. I got hurt on your time. I'm rehabbing on your time since you didn't pay me.
Yeah, I don't.
And Mike didn't have my back. That's on you, Mike. You wanted me to get the surgery? You should have had my back. Instead, you're throwing me under the bus constantly.
Yeah,
peace, Mike.
That's a very selfish way of doing things.
Man, Jordan was a giving man.
Sean in Punxsutawney. You're a 97.5 Fanatic. Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, I used to call you guys from Upper Darby all the time, man. Yeah, I moved up to the boonies.
Wow. How you liking the Punxsutawney with that groundhog? You doing all right with him?
Yeah, you know what? It's a peaceful, quiet place, man. I'll tell you that.
Is it?
Yeah.
You got like a little general store in there?
They were shut down now.
Yeah?
They were shut down like everything else. But listen, look. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about this whole Michael Jordan thing, right? So, I'm on the level with, like, you know, all right, look, the guy's the greatest. He's the best, right? Yeah, he may have been an a-hole. Yeah, he may have been mean to guys and this and that, but, like, you know, I don't know. Horace Grant was talking about, you know, that whole cocaine circus.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, well, now Horace Grant's calling him a snitch.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you know, all right.
Well,
that's one part of looking at it, but, I mean, you know, Michael Jordan wanted to win. And, like, if he expected certain things from people and guys on his team, and you know what? I heard somebody today, I won't say their name, but I heard somebody on another network say, today that, you know, you can't look at sports players as friends and brothers. They're coworkers, right?
Not really.
You don't always agree with what your coworkers
say. No, not really. No, that's not really the same. Because in basketball, you have to play together as a team. In every other walk of life, you may not be a team. You're just doing your part. This is a team.
Yeah,
you have
to
pass
to
the other guy.
Though. But you don't have to like each other.
No, you don't have to like each other, but you have to be able to function as a team. And what Michael Jordan did brought out the best. I'm not saying Michael Jordan was wrong. It worked for him. Right. He's lucky it worked for him. Because, you know, otherwise somebody would have jacked his ass up.
Right.
All right? And that'll happen on the job, too, won't it? 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. The next team we will do, we will measure the Sixers against the Celtics.
Oh,
the guy in Punxsutawney, I was thinking like there'd be this, some like general store that sold penny candy. Remember those days?
Yes.
Yeah. I used to go because I had the three penny candy faves. One was the Red Hot Dollars. Red Hot Dollars.
Yeah.
They were the jelly, but they weren't hot at all. They were just fruity.
Yes.
The Red Hot Dollars. Remember this?
Those were good.
Yeah, I didn't
know. They were like Swedish.
They were Swedish fish.
Yeah, like Swedish fish. But they
don't like
they were in the form of dollar, like half dollars.
They were almost like
I'm familiar with those. I didn't like that kind of candy.
Really?
Yeah.
How about Mary Jane's?
Nah.
No, yeah. I used to get. How about this? Lick-A-Maid.
Oh, yeah.
That's the straws.
Yeah.
With the powder?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
the
good.
Sugar in a straw. Yes. Those were great. Yes. I had one of those right now.
The fun, weren't they called like dipping fun dip?
They're called Lick-A-Maids.
Yeah.
They were
Lick-A-Maid.
Yeah, also later on.
I think they were fun dip. It was fun dip.
Fun dip.
Yeah, that's great.
Fun dip is so awesome. I haven't had that. Big League Chew.
You didn't rock with Mary Jane's, that hard peanut buttery candy?
Mm-mm.
No?
I was very particular about my candy growing up.
Did you do the, remember the candy cigarettes? Did you ever try those? They used to sell them to kids.
But they were gross.
The bubblegum cigars.
Yes, those too. And in the white wrapper?
Bubblegum cigars.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
Except you get your jaw all hurt.
They were different brands, though. As a kid, you'd be like, you know, think you're smoking a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I learned the movement.
Smoking movement.
The movement of the hold.
Do they still sell those to children?
When I got able to smoke cigars later in life, I had to move.
You already had it all set.
610-632-0975. One line's open. You got it right here. 975 The Fanatic. Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
247. Let me do some analysis on this Lick-A-Maid thing. So they did change the fun dip, but the package actually has. Wonka became the candy maker.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. They take advantage of the Wonka name. So it says Wonka and Fun Dips in big letters, but Lick-A-Maid is in little letters above the Fun Dip.
Oh.
As the transformation from Lick-A-Maid to Fun Dip. First of all, Lick-A-Maid is a terrible name.
Yeah.
What the hell does that even mean?
Yeah,
But Fun Dip isn't any better. Like, what's Fun Dip?
You're dipping.
No, Fun Dip is great.
Yeah, I love a Fun Dip.
Lick-A-Maid was the straw. You just poured
the dust into
the straw.
That was a pixie stick.
Well, it's Lick-A-Maid, too.
No, they did it differently, probably. Stick? No, you poured the stick into the thing and then dipped the stick again, right?
No, the stuff came out of the straw.
Oh, that's a pixie stick.
That's a pixie stick.
Well, what was Lick-A-Maid then?
That was the Fun Dip.
That was Fun Dip.
In the pouch.
You lick the candy in the pouch with the dip. All right, well, that's a better name than Lick-A-Maid.
Yes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. See, my candy store was Asta Brothers.
That was your candy store.
It was a little kid, a little like all-purpose store that had penny candy on the way to my elementary school.
Right.
So when I was old enough to be honored with being the street corner safety, were you a safety?
I was a safety.
So what was that? Fifth grade? Is that when they tried?
Yeah, fifth grader.
I was a bus safety though, because it wasn't.
So I got the corner. I got the pr- prime real estate.
Well, look at you.
I got the corner where Asta Brothers was.
Oh, right there.
Nice, Mike.
That's good work, yeah.
So I'm no kidding. I slide in there, get some penny candy, come back out.
Yeah.
There was a corner store in our neighborhood. It was Lenny's. And after school, everybody ran. Yeah. You had to run to Lenny's to get your spot in line because it would just be a constant line for candy for an hour.
There was a corner store in every corner in Bristol.
Yeah.
There were like 10,000 people in Bristol. There were 10,000 candy stores, little stores, little Italian delis.
I'll tell you what, through this pandemic, the corner stores in Fishtown have been solid, thriving, awesome.
They're doing well.
Anything that you need, you go to the corner store.
There was a deli store battle in Bristol for many years.
Oh, really?
It got vicious.
Why did it get vicious?
On one corner, there was Marissi's.
Whoa.
Across the street, there was Caloris.
Oh, I can see how things could go down south.
You had to win over the customer.
Mm.
And they were always going back of battling.
Different price, different.
And they didn't get along.
Did they have anything that they were each famous for that they were battling over, like hoagies or something?
Well, their meats were supposedly. Right. They used to brag that their meats were better.
Right.
You know?
It's like a meat battle.
Those meats are rotten across the street. You come here, they're fresh meats.
It was no love, man. Either you were a Marissi's person or a Caloris person.
Yeah, delis.
It was like the Civil War.
Delis were kind of like so essential to the neighborhood that you had your deli in your neighborhood.
Yeah, but see, this was problematic because they were right in the same corner.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So they
turf war.
Somebody's outside sweeping the stoop. They can see everybody going in there. They probably don't want you to go from one to the other. That's probably a problem.
There would be a guy outside labeling you.
Mm-hmm.
Like a spy. Oh, all right, that dude's an enemy.
Yeah, that guy's no good.
Yeah.
See, I like that. I need to bring that kind of warfare back.
That's the Italian way of life, brother.
Bring that back.
All grudges.
Right. Forces people to take a side. We all need to take sides.
That's good, Drew Westchester. Drew here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Drew?
I was just thinking about your list there, the Sixers. Mm-hmm. And I just was thinking of one person that would maybe be on there that isn't, and that would be Maurice Cheeks, maybe replacing Tony.
You can make a case. You can make a case for Cheeks coming off the bench. Yeah, I put him in parentheses. I mean, he would be a good sub. You know,
but you got
Iverson playing a lot of minutes, man. And how much time? Like Tony would have to spell Greer,
right?
So you wouldn't lose anything in the shooting category.
Right, and then as far as what Paul Pierce said about LeBron James not being in the top five, I mean, whatever he's smoking, he can pay me some of that because that's just crazy talk. I mean, LeBron James is definitely 1A or 1B, however you want.
I would love to get P on. That's what they call him, right? P.
You turn it off when it comes on.
Oh, all right, man. It's general knowledge question for you.
All right, buddy.
So where did we? We did music. Highest scoring highest grossing 1990 movies. All right, this is like sixth on the list. It grossed $306 million. Space aliens easily destroy most of Earth's major cities, but may be vulnerable to computer hacking.
That would be Independence
Day. That is correct. Independence Day with that sucker, Bill Pullman. You know he plays a sucker in every movie?
He kind of does, doesn't he?
He does. He's the guy that you can cheat on or break up with.
Yeah.
He's not with us anymore, right? He's passed.
What?
Bill Pullman died?
No, he didn't.
I think he did.
Bill Pullman died?
I'm pretty sure.
Loved him in Casper.
He was in a movie where he got fleeced by Linda Fiorentino.
Oh, no, he didn't die.
No, I was going to say. You're thinking of Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton was Chet in Weird Science.
Yeah.
And also was in Mormon series.
Oh, yeah. He was great in Twister, too.
What is that? It was on HBO, the Mormon series.
Big Love.
Big Love,
yeah,
yes.
Big Love.
Yeah, I watched that. I like that, actually.
Yeah. Now, Linda Fiorentino, you know her, right?
Yeah.
She's a Philly girl. She went to Little Flower, right? Didn't she go to Little Flower?
I think so.
She was in a movie. She was married to Bill Pullman. And she fleeced him, but she made a getaway with another dude.
Come on.
It was a crazy movie. You ought to see this movie. It's a great movie. It's like a mystery. And she was a con. as she conned him.
Oh, geez.
She was his wife. What was it called?
I don't know.
Bill Pullman and Linda Fiorentino. It's one of the underrated movies. Seriously. You got to watch it. It's crazy.
The Last Seduction?
Yes, The Last Seduction.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Check that out. The Last Seduction.
He was the winner in While You Were Sleeping. Did you see While You Were Sleeping?
No.
With Sandra Bullock?
No. I did, however, I got to tell you that I wanted to test myself. So the other day, I watched Dumb and Dumber again.
You yeah. did? How'd it go?
What'd you think?
I'll tell you in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yes. Yes.
Because I'm about to say something. I think the writers of those movies are the dumbest asses that have ever written for movies. And I have no respect for them whatsoever. And I'm talking about the Farrelly brothers.
Oh, they've had good movies.
They've had no good movies. They're idiots.
Well, I gotta dig in.
They insult
my
intelligence.
Expound.
Those guys.
Found on this.
3 o'clock hour, we're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.